shut the hell up. I'm tired of your noises.
Oh, maybe I cough sometimes. Ooh.
That's what you sound like. Say something. Say something.
You, like, started that very calmly.
Yeah. I really, because I became so funny, like, I'm a little too calm, aren't I? I gotta
pick it up. You could hear ramped up as it went.
All right, I gotta kick this energy up a little bit. Here we are, everybody. So, yeah, welcome to the show. I'm Mike Minotti, jumping my brother, as you guys.
Just said that.
Well, you threw me off with your interruptions. Look, here we are. So we're going to do a show about the legacy of the Wii U, which is pretty much just about done. Like, what, there might be, like, a game or two coming out, right? There's like the something or another.
Did Paper Mario come out?
I think that came out.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Might be something. Well, I mean, Zelda's coming out for it,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we'll talk kind of about, you know, the Wii U and what we think about it. Which it's interesting because it's an older system than you think in a way.
Came out 2012.
So same life cycle as the original Xbox, actually.
Oh, the system that everyone considered a failure?
No one ever said that, really. I mean, it had a regular lifespan. It had a clear successor.
Yeah, and I think that was more Microsoft that decided to jumpstart the next generation than, like, oh, this Xbox is failing. We need to dump it and move on.
Right, but, yeah. So after that, we'll talk a little bit about some other games we played in the Special Zone, Civ 6 and stuff like that. So, but yeah, kind of going back to that. That's kind of always my comparison, is that, like, the four-year life cycle seems pretty short now.
That used to be what it was.
Well, it used to be like five, yeah. Four is definitely a little short. Yeah, this is kind of weird to think, like, the original Xbox really only had 4 years to it.
It also showed up late to the party. Well, it came out on the
really.
GameCube,
it
did, I guess, yeah.
GameCube. It came out pretty normal. I mean, yeah, because, you know, 360 came out, what, 05, and then the Wii was just a year later, so.
The Wii and the PS3.
So the GameCube still had its five-year thing, and then the PlayStation 2 actually had a six-year.
No, 10-year, Mike.
Yeah, Mario. So, AJ, what do you think of the Wii U? What is its legacy?
Mario Maker.
Well, I don't think... Is any system's legacy a single game?
I only say that because I think it's literally the only game on the platform that justified having that tablet controller.
Yeah, I think that's pretty... At least
other games
real
used
good game.
It to some extent.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciated it in the Zelda games.
Yeah, that's actually something I might miss a little bit. That was convenient.
Yeah, that was nice in the HD remasters. So, like, that was cool. Like, everything else about it felt like just like this is neat. You didn't need it.
It's almost like there's like some weird lack of foresight there because it's like they must have put all this R&D into that concept. Then once they had to start making games for it, a lot of times they were like, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you had Nintendo Land that if you paid more, you came with your console.
Right.
And that was a dumb launch. Like, splitting the SKUs the way they did, it felt like they did that only because, like, well, everyone splits SKUs. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have just done the one.
I forgot
that. Why muddy the waters? Why 8 gigabytes? What's that doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you go to Best Buy, they're going to charge you $50 for an HDMI cable.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting launch, so... Because it was like, they were trying to like make us excited about the fact that there was a new a Mario game launching with the Nintendo system for the first time since the Nintendo 64 or whatever. Or the, you know, home console.
And that was...
And it was
new
Super
Mario
Bros.
Wii U.
And it was like...
Like the fifth one at this point.
Well,
like,
I think it was maybe just the third one even, but like those things were kind of losing steam. I mean, if you tell me right now, like, what's the difference between Super Mario Brothers for Wii and Super Mario Bros. For Wii U, I'm like, oh.
Exactly.
I think the one had a...
A mushroom spinny thing?
No.
Which one was that?
I think they both had that.
Oh.
But the Wii U one had the Squirrel Mario, right? Remember Squirrel Mario?
Squirrel or Cat? Oh, yeah, no,
Cat
yeah.
Cat was
yeah.
in 3D World.
Yes.
But even that, it's like, that one kind of had some touch screens up where, like, the other player can, like, put platforms for you, which was something at least.
Yeah, that was, like early days, that was, like, the pitch was, like, this asymmetrical multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like, because Rayman did that, too.
Rayman did it pretty well, at least.
Fairly well, but, like, it always felt like whoever had the tablet was playing the lesser game.
Sure.
They were like, never equal experiences.
You would switch, because, like, all right, you can use it. It's, like, kind of fun, but, like, yeah, all right, I want to be Rayman.
Yeah, it's like what you did with Mario Galaxy, where it's like, here, you take the second Wii remote and collect these star bits.
Yeah, you're helping.
Exactly.
Even, like, the child had to be like, I'm not, this is bullshit, I'm not helping.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
What else was at that launch?
Rayman was the most exciting thing about the
launch. Rayman was delayed. It didn't hit the launch, remember?
Oh, that's right. I just remember playing it at Best Buy pre-launch and being like, oh, this is cool.
There's Nintendo Land, which was just like, you know, the minigame thing, which was fine. They definitely wasn't like the next Wii Sports. There's that Zombie U, remember?
Yeah.
Remember how much, like, Ubisoft was all in for a little bit?
Yeah, they were.
That's kind of the weird thing was how at first, just because people like they didn't know, like, well, I guess we should put some games on there. Mass Effect 3 was on there.
Yeah, Batman Arkham City was got on ported.
There. Yeah, some weird games that would just never have been there, like, even 2 years later.
It was just because, okay, well, it's as powerful as a 360. We can port this over.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, the other thing that just made the system so confusing, I'm sure Nintendo like was like, well, everyone has a Wii, so you have Wii remotes, you could use them. But then, like, it very quickly became like, what fucking controller do I need to use in this game? Like, what can I use?
It's kind of a strange thing in general how it was like the kind of it's like they're trying to continue the Wii line, which you kind of get because you know the Wii was this very big hit, whatever. So it's almost like you know the Wii is the brand more so than Nintendo even, which is it's kind of like now Nintendo itself is the brand again.
Yeah,
and not
well. Just I mean, remember they were was it on Jimmy Fallon when even he was like the Wii U is an add on for your Wii? It's like, ooh.
Well, yeah, that reveal was so confusing. Nobody like say they definitely nailed out the Switch. Like this is a system.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody was like, wait, what is this? Is this just a controller
a bad
for the Wii?
It was just bad marketing.
A lot of times we're just saying Wii 2 might have just been better.
But yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Wii U was... It's like you kind of get what they're trying to do.
It's yeah.
Like, see, it's Wii and you, and it's like, was it Wii University? What does it mean? And then, like, yeah, it was funny because there's like, here's the Wii Sports game for Wii U, and no one cares as much. Here's the Wii Fit game for Wii U, and no one cares. Right, it's like, you did that already. It was kind of like this strange perfect storm for the Wii. But even the original Wii was already losing steam by the time the Wii U was coming out.
Yeah. I mean, the system gave us Splatoon.
No,
I'll give it that.
But we can talk about some, like, individual games. I mean, yeah, as far as, like, original stuff on it, I mean, Splatoon is the first, like, notable new Nintendo franchise in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad, like, we're definitely going to be seeing that continue, which is cool, because that was fun game.
We got a very good Smash Brothers, but I think that had nothing to do with the system.
No.
It was just a matter that was the Nintendo system out at the time.
I mean, you say that for kind of that, and even Mario Kart.
I mean, the preferred way to play Smash Brothers is still with GameCube controllers, right. So what's that tell you?
Mario 3D World was a good 3D Mario game.
I thought it was okay.
I don't have, like, a whole lot of... Some people like it more than us. I'm kind of glad that looks like the next one is going back to, like, the more... I don't know what you would call it, but, you know, like, that, like 3D World had, like, that kind of stuck camera, almost isometric thing.
Yeah, it felt like a step back from where Galaxy went.
I mean, it's you know, it was cool that you could have four-player multiplayer because that... That's
it just felt like an HD 3DS game to me because it kind of was.
I don't know. You're a little... you're harder on it than me.
I know. I was not a fan. I just thought it was okay.
I thought it was fun. But yeah, the Mario Kart was maybe the best Mario Kart we've had since Double Dash.
But then, again, the touchscreen was just a horn.
It's the horn. That was funny. Like, you couldn't do something.
Even, like, that's a game where the map would have made sense on this. Like, was it on the screen, like, on the side? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
That's,
like, the strange thing. It's, like, you guys should have something invested in trying to make this work more. This was all you did? Then you had games like Donkey Kong Country,
just
Tropical Freeze.
It
was, like, it was black. I was like, come on, guys.
But then you had a game like Star Fox where they were like, okay, we're going to use the screen. And it just made the game so convoluted. The whole point of, like, the Wii and Wii U was supposed to simplify games so everyone could play them. Now you're, like, you're flying up here, but you're aiming, like, with most controls on a second screen. You can't look at both at the same time. It's like, what?
I still kind of like Star Fox.
I actually haven't even played it yet, but just the concept, just... explain that to someone.
It is funny to watch them because, like, nothing else was really coming out that... when I was going to have to, like, position it as a big release for Wii U. That was kind of...
Just odd. Also, the Wii U system AI is awful. That Mii Plaza is
AI,
terrible. Huh?
You mean UI.
That's what I said, UI.
You said AI.
I said UI.
All right. Well, someone will tell me, but I think you said AI at first.
But yeah, that was dumb. It was confusing.
I hope we're done with all this, like, weird white background and, like, knees running around, like, user interface stuff. the Miiverse. The Miiverse is like, Miiverse is like fine. It's just like something, but it's like when it's like the main thing of your social network or your online, you know, your communities or whatever. Yeah, maybe not quite so much. Bayonetta 2 was a fun game. I mean, it's, again, not like a very Wii U game. Yeah,
exactly. Like,
but that's kind of the nice thing about the Switch is, like, a game doesn't have to be, like, a very Switch game. And I kind of...
Well, yeah, they can just be games again.
Right, again, I always bring this point up where it's, like, the gimmick for the first time in a long time has nothing to do with, like, game design. Like, somebody making a game for the Switch doesn't have to, like, think about how does this have to be different than a game that would normally make, right. You know? Even, like, even more so than, like, the DS or 3DS where you have the two screens and even 3D. It's like, this one's like, look, we're just going to make a game.
Make a game, yeah.
Like, maybe the most you could do is, like, do we want to have a multiplayer mode that only requires, you know,
the
like...
Joy-Con.
Yeah. And, you know, no one's going to, own, like, focus on that, so that's fine. What if Wonder One, I feel like, is an underappreciated game. I thought that was kind of a fun, cool game.
I never played that.
It was fun. I liked it. And that was pretty early on. I don't think it was quite launched. There's like weird things, like there's games that you almost kind of forget happened, like that, like the Kirby, Canvas Curse sequel.
Oh yeah,
that's, you know, it's fine. There's a lot of games kind of like that.
The Yoshi game.
Yeah, there's the Yoshi Woolly World.
There's never a game that made me feel like to anyone else, somebody'd be like, "Oh, you got to get a Wii U so you can play this game."
Yeah, and Mario Maker was maybe, like, one of the coolest things.
But, like, they were at most, like, I have a Wii U, you should come over and play this once.
Yeah, you know? Even, like, with those games, I really like, I don't know if any of them were ever quite like the Wii U's Metroid Prime or Wind Waker or, you know, Super Mario World or something like that. It is kind
of... And then the one game that could have been that, Zelda, is going to be that now for the Switch. Right. Like, why would you... Unless, like, there's a huge price gap and that's all you care about is playing Zelda. Like,
it's very interesting how this will be... It's funny because they actually released a lot of quote-unquote Zelda games for the Wii U, but it's never going to have, like, its own proper game. Like, it had Hyrule Warriors. Mm-hmm. Then it had the HD versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, which were really cool. I liked having those a lot. I'd be fine if they maybe just put those on the Switch, too. That'd be all right. But yeah, you know, Breath of the Wild will be on that and the Switch, so that's kind of interesting. There's just no Metroid anywhere.
It's so weird. Metroid. For a company that has no problem milking its franchises, no Metroid, no F-Zero.
Yeah, it's like we're the ones that they're like, we don't want to make one of those.
Yeah, well, we can't innovate on it. Like, how many new Super Mario Brothers games did you make again? It's
right.
Like, no.
They're done with that. But yeah, just, you know, I hope. I'm always, like, terrified now that they made that stupid Federation Force thing. They're going to be like, well, that didn't sell very well. People must not want Metroid games.
I know. It's I always feel like game companies learn the wrong lessons and things don't work for them.
Stop. Please. It's a nice thing with the Switch again. And I think it's like that development that used to be kind of split between two systems. And also, I think the 3DS had better games than the Wii U.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm a fan of the idea. Like, and they came out after the Switch announcement, after our show last week, where they were saying, like, We have never said this is a successor to 3DS, and we'll make that decision at the time. They said the same thing when the DS came out about the Game Boy Advance.
They were even more forceful. At the time, they said it is not a successor to the Game Boy Advance, and the Game Boy line is still around.
Yeah. How's that Game Boy Advance 2 doing?
I mean, there's definitely always the, if this somehow flops, the Switch,
yeah,
sure,
it's
there
will
be
out.
Then there will be another DS or Game Boy or whatever they want to call it. Maybe. But the idea that, like, hey, you can just have the Fire Emblem people make a game for this, and there can be, like, the, you know, after Breath of the Wild, people who made Link Between Worlds can make some other kind of more callback Zelda game for the Switch.
Yeah, which would be incredible.
Which would be great. Right. Like, alright, yeah, let's keep doing that. And, you know, so on and so forth. Like, even the next 2D Kirby game is just gonna be on the Switch and stuff like that. It is strange to me how many 2D games they released. And again, I like 2D games, but it's like, it is weird how Nintendo is almost kind of like settled back to that in a way.
Yeah, like, but it's just, again, like, when all your games are 2D platformers, they even though it's like Kirby and Mario, they start to feel just kind of rote.
Well,
like, I had no desire to play Donkey Kong because, well, first of all, I just played a very similar game on my 3DS not long before.
And it is kind of this problem, like, where, you know, that's now the fifth Donkey Kong Country and, like, the sixth Yoshi 2D game and how many, you know, Kirby games. It's weird how many franchise they have now just dedicated 2D side scrollers.
Yeah,
it's fine, but, like, it's just, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, at least try something a little bit more ambitious with them. I think it's fine.
I feel like no, very few if any games on the Wii U ever felt ambitious.
I mean,
they all felt very safe.
Yeah, it'd be cool to, like, see, you know, hey, let's try to make another 3D Donkey Kong game. Like, give another spin on that. There's so few 3D platformers really besides Mario these days. It's kind of a shame that, like, they don't even really have much interest in doing any other ones. It's like, you know, we never even, like, I keep saying we never got, like, a 3D Kirby game. Like, you know, try.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Yeah, right. I knew what can happen. But yeah. So, yeah, but Wii U, is it the worst Nintendo console? Console, so, you know, Virtual Boy's out
there. Yeah, I think so.
Home console. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think it's not like it's a bad system. I'm fine. I had one.
Yeah.
I played games on it I liked. But, I mean, you know, if we're going to rank everything, you know, is it better than the NES? No. Super NES? No. 64? Nah, probably not. No. GameCube? No. Wii is, like, Wii's interesting because, like, at the time it was cool, but it's, like, when you think about the games that you have on the Wii that you really, like, want to go back and play, the three, it's, like, the Mario Galaxy
games.
Skyward Sword, and I'm not super sure.
Yeah, because it's, like, I mean, you're not going to go back to Mario Kart
7.
Wii or whatever they call it.
Wii. It was Wii. 7
was okay, because 8's just better.
Right, and, you know, Brawl was kind of not a great Smash Brothers. I mean, there's, like, Donkey Kong Country Returns, but then, you know, you just had that on, like, other systems. And so, yeah, it's funny because, like, the Wii was, like, this big hit at the time, and it was kind of fun, but it's, like, go-back ability.
Well, and it's like I used to say at the time of the Wii. The Wii seemed successful because people were buying it, and then they, like, just played Wii Sports, and
right.
maybe got Wii Fit, right. but they weren't buying, like, Mario.
Like, maybe it'd be fun to put Wii Sports on for a hot second, but, you know, yeah, that's all right.
You know, when the nursing home at Wii Sports, they weren't also playing Metroid Other M.
There's one guy. I liked Metroid Other M.
You
always have to bring that
one
up.
One of the few.
Always have to bring that up.
Terrible
I had to
game.
That game.
Terrible
that
game.
It was fine. That was fun. That
terrible
was cool.
game.
It was interesting. It's different, actually, guys. That's the point. Try.
Hey, here's an NES controller. Play a 3D action game.
It worked!
No, it didn't.
It did.
No, it didn't.
The only problem with that game were maybe plot-wise. I think the gameplay was great.
Nope.
You are pretty stupid, I would say. Man, what else is there? Like, it's just like, there's not a whole lot to even say about the Wii U in this weird way. It kind of can't. Like, I heard some people try to say, like, oh, maybe it'll be remembered like the Dreamcast. I'm like, no.
No. No, it won't.
Dreamcast had more memorable games come out for it in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Speaking of, I think I figured out a way to get my Dreamcast to connect to HDMI so I can have it back to my TV.
Oh, fun.
Because I still have a VGA adapter, so I found a VGA to HDMI converter.
And there you go.
Yes.
You gotta connect all those generations. I still, like, I'm becoming even more and more nostalgic for that specific generation, that Dreamcast to, like, Xbox era or the GameCube.
Well, yeah, because it's like, 3D graphics are no longer, like, this new.
It wasn't, like, a
frontier
to it, so people were, like, pretty good at it. We actually almost got more 3D games than we sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah, like, look, there were a lot more platformers. There weren't nearly as many shooters. And, like, because, yeah, you didn't quite have a Call of Duty. Yeah, like, all the shooters were actually trying to be Halo, of all things. They were kind of, like, weird and whatever. It's like, all right, you go over there and play. They weren't, like, all, like, the biggest games, no matter what, you know, or what have you. It was almost even kind of nice how there weren't that many great online features. Because, like, so many of the games were just single player. Because it's like, all right,
yeah.
Well, people can't connect to the internet, really. Not that well. So, but, all right, so how's Civ 6 going?
Real good.
Yeah, it's a very fun game. It's very relaxing.
Excellent. I am just over 10 hours in, still my first game. I mean, they nailed it. A lot of people were complaining about the art style when it was first revealed.
I don't know what that problem is.
I think it looks fantastic.
I think it looks really good.
Also, playing it on the Steam controller, which works super well.
I haven't tried that yet.
Very nice to kind of just kick back in your desk chair and, you know, just play. Because, you know, there's just it's an inherent design problem with Civ, but especially when you get into the later stages. You know, you hit and turn. Yeah, wait like a minute or two because everything has to resolve. But so many of the new things they've added are so smart and. What I like is, and this was the problem with pretty much all of the old Civ games, you knew what you were going to do the minute you hit start game, and you just barreled through. And because of things like adjacency bonuses to terrain, that's going to affect what you do, the way you can adapt your policy cards on the fly.
The civics things.
And then also I like how they kind of, you still have the tech tree, but then there's a civics tree.
Yeah.
So there's like two lines of research basically to do now. I think that was really smart. Also, I'm so happy that they took the happiness system away from Civ 5. Because you remember how that worked. Like, you would just be stuck just trying to keep everyone happy, and you couldn't do anything else. So now it's kind of like, they call it...
amenities.
Yes, amenities. I mean, it's city-specific, so that's good. Just so many smart tweaks to the game.
Yeah, I like the way builders work a lot better, and roads specifically.
Yeah, roads are just built by your trade caravans.
Nice.
Builders just have charges, and they build, you know, farms and quarries and all that. Like, nothing has to be worked by them. Right. I can't remember if 5 did that. I know 4 did, where, like, after you built everything, you would just send them to tiles to, like, give it a small boost.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that was
so you 5. Just filled every tile with workers.
Right, just keep making workers. Like, why the heck not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, I like, too, they have, like, that projects you build now. So if your city doesn't really have anything to build, you just put it to a project that gives you a boost to, like, science or culture or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, have you finished a game yet?
No, actually. Yeah, it's because I mean, they're so long.
I know.
Plus, I've still been playing a lot of World of Warcraft. I was also, like, starting to slow down a little bit, and by that, I mean maybe play a little bit every day. But then the big 7.1 patch came out, which added the Karazhan dungeon, which I'm still getting attuned for. You have to do some things. Mm. But a lot of balance changes to it, which is nice. Sort of made the Frost Death Knight better, which I was hoping for.
Yeah, Shaman didn't get touched too much.
Yeah, Shaman's probably in a pretty decent. So I think Elemental was
on Elemental the, got some boost. Yeah,
Elemental people were complaining about it a bit. But there's just kind of some small quality of life things. But, you know, it's just like a boost. Like, hey, there's a new badge, and it's crazy. And there's some, like, new quests and stuff to do. And
yeah, some new world quests, some new stuff to the Suramar quest, which I really need to get
more. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
find. Well, the problem is I've settled into a routine where I just kind of log in and do my world quests.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's fine for me.
Sure.
You know, once in a while, I dip my toe into LFR or run a dungeon if I have some time.
I get you attuned for Karazhan, though. I assume you want to run that.
I do want to try it, yeah. And it's interesting. It's a dungeon, but it's a mythic-only dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of informally refer to it as a 5-man raid.
Right, which is... I like that idea a lot. I think that's really nice. I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to
that. I haven't killed Xavius yet in LFR.
I don't know if he came... He may not have been available in LFR yet. Maybe he is
now. Oh, really? Is that not?
Maybe he is now, but I don't know. Usually I wait a little longer before you fight the final boss.
I see.
Then the other thing is I'm finally playing Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky for the PSP. I'm playing on the Vita. Remember the second chapter came up for, like, Steam and Vita not too long ago?
Nope.
You don't remember anything?
I don't know anything about this game.
So this was, like, the one, like, original PSP or GRPG that people really liked a lot.
Who made it?
Oh, it's like, damn it, who is it? It's not like Square or Enix. It's like this other company. And, like, their legacy, like, goes back to the NES, but, like, none of their games came out in America. Almost kind of like Fire Emblem for a while. I think until this one, maybe.
Hmm.
I'm just looking up this the people know. It's like Nihon Falcom, Bandai Namco. Yeah, again, it's like, yeah, Nihon Falcom is the people call. But it's pretty cool because, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, the sprites and stuff still, but, like, you know, you can rotate the camera around, stuff like that. So it's, like, have kind of an old-school feel to it, which is nice, but, you know, still pretty big and kind of, I don't want to say grand because I'm still pretty early in it. The battle system and stuff seems pretty cool, though. It's kind of a mix between, like, Final Fantasy X, where you have, like, that row where you can see people are coming up, but mm-hmm. position is much more important, like, where you are and walking around, stuff like that. There's kind of, you know, some other things to it.
You mean like position, like a Final Fantasy Tactics kind of thing?
Not quite. It's just like, you have like a radius where if somebody's, you can walk around, or if you go to attack somebody, you're going to watch them. If they're far enough away from you, you have to just spend that turn getting closer to them. Mm-hmm. It's not tile-based or anything like that.
Yeah, more like a circle.
Kind of, yeah. So.
Sounds kind of like Valkyria Chronicles.
A little, maybe.
Except you're not like, are you like directly controlling the movement?
No.
Okay.
No, it's still very turn-based. It's still very menu-based. Which is kind of what I like.
Didn't Grandia do that? Grandia 2?
Maybe
too.
A little. I can't quite remember. It's been so long since I played even those games. And there's like a pretty neat like progression. That's like the big thing. Battle system, progression system. The progression system is all about like when you kill monsters, they drop like these different gems, and you use those to craft spells and also like your kind of status boost. And you don't even get money from beating monsters. You just have to decide which gems you want to trade in for money, which is kind of interesting. It's like, do I want to go for character progression, or do I need to buy this sword, and, you know, stuff like that. And it's also, like, a lot of those games, it's like you're in a guild, quote-unquote, so you have to, like, go to the menu board, and that's where you get side quests, and you can get money or other things that way. I'm always a very big fan of playing a JRPG, like an hour or so in bed every night for a while, and that's, like, how I, like, recently went through Suikoden, and then Breath of Fire, which one was it? It was
four.
Yeah, it was 4. I finally played through, and I meant to get to this one because I always heard good things about it. Plus, I typically like playing these things on my Vita. That's my Vita really is like my JRPG machine.
Yeah, if they bring that stuff to the Switch,
oh my god, that'd be so good. That's like I almost like wish like there if there was like if you told me like Persona 5 was gonna launch on the Switch, I'd be like, yeah, I just want that.
Just
version.
Wait for that
like,
one, yeah.
Maybe because that'd be so.
Oh, I wonder how tight their deal with Sony is. That'd be cool.
Right. Oh my god, that'd be so nice. I mean, they've released. Yeah, I mean, who knows, for that specific game. I mean, Persona Q came out for the 3DS.
Yeah, and the
fighting games.
Other Shin Megami games.
Yeah, the fighting games came out for 360, actually. Those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember those. It's weird that that game is out in Japan, like Persona 5, like people have played through it.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent, like, you know, Final Fantasy 7 coming out was like a year
well, that before it used to be like so long yeah. back in the day, where it's like, you know, you would like, you know, these people get this game, you're like, well, we gotta wait. Even systems would be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they have the Nintendo 64, we'll get one in like 7 months, cool.
That's why you have a Japanese GameCube.
That's why I do have a Japanese GameCube.
That was, what, 3 months?
Yeah, that was maybe not my most prudent decision.
But then you got Japanese Super Mario Sunshine.
I did get to beat Mario Sunshine before he even came out here, so suck it.
I just remember finally going back and getting an actual English copy of that game and finding out what all the little scrolling subtitles on the screen said. I was like, oh, that's what they're saying.
Getting pissed that they don't say Shine Get.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys, say Shine Get. At this point, you should have just said Shine Get. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes
Everyone
it.
Everyone knew.
Everyone was saying Shine Get because they all thought it was cute. I don't get sometimes. People like don't understand that like it's like there's some, you know, like warmth behind the mocking. It's just like with that.
They're making fun of us.
Just like the Symphony of the Night thing when they changed like the voice over. Like, you can't change those lines.
Yeah, they're classic.
It's like one thing when you're doing like Resident Evil 1, you're like trying to make it like scary again. I get that.
Yeah. Sure.
Symphony Night. What do you think you're doing? It's Symphony Night. Give me a new Metroidvania on freaking Switch. Oh, that's right. Konami doesn't make games anymore. You can put that Bloodstained on it.
Yeah, maybe Bloodstained will come on it. There you go.
All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up?
Tomorrow's an exciting day. We got Titanfall 2, Skyrim Remastered, and Game 3 of the World Series. So I'm not playing either of them.
Yeah, that's right. If you had a Switch, you could play Skyrim while you're watching.
I know. That's why I need a friggin' Switch, like, I play Skyrim and do other things.
Exactly. Of course, you could have done that on your Wii U, I guess, if those games came out for it, technically, but...
If I really wanted to, I guess I could, remote in with my Surface and do Steam and home streaming.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, I figured it out. Alright, well then, thanks for listening to the Explain Barrel Podcast, everybody. Find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store and leave us reviews. We always appreciate that. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Pearl Podcast.
Bye-bye.